God that will take care of you. I remember years ago, I was going through one of the most difficult times I had been through in a long time. And the Lord put that song on my heart, and I remember going to a copy machine and photocopying that song. And I actually took that song, and I scratched out the words you, and I wrote the words me in, and I put that in my prayer journal. And every day for I don't know how long, I sang that song, God will take care of me. God will get me through this. And sometimes we got to do that. We got to personalize those songs for the needs that we have in our lives. Well, I want to take a few minutes tonight, and I want to call your attention to the book of Philippians and chapter number 4. The book of Philippians and chapter number 4. And I want to share with you a very familiar verse, but I want to share with you a phrase found in this verse that sometimes we skip over. And I already gave you the title of the message of this evening, but I'll give it to you again when we get to the phrase in that verse, Philippians chapter number 4. We do know, and we need to remember, that the book of Philippians is a prison epistle, which means it was written by the Apostle Paul in a challenging time to the church at Philippi when he was in prison. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are our prison epistles. You'll notice as you read the book of Philippians, you'll notice amazing that he does not complain. He does not complain. He doesn't focus on himself. His attitude is actually the opposite. The book of Philippians really is a book about rejoicing and rejoicing in the Lord. And we see that right from the beginning in chapter 4 where he says, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And so we see his attitude about rejoicing. But it's interesting, attached to a verse that we quote often, found in verse number 6, the Bible says this, be careful for nothing. Don't have anxiety or anxious about anything. If I remember correctly, that word careful is a word that means to be divided. We can have a division going on in our mind. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now here's our two words on the title of our message tonight. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now we see linked to peace, the peace of God, we see is letting our requests be made known unto God. But it is interesting, the apostle writing to this church says, between don't be anxious and give your burdens to the Lord, we see this word with thanksgiving. It's interesting, if you flip back one book, forward one book, not backward, forward one book, whatever, to Colossians. And I want you to see Colossians chapter number 2. We see this with thanksgiving attached to other phrases in the Word of God, where the Bible says Colossians 2 and verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Flip over one chapter to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Again, we see the peace of God linked to having a thankful spirit. Look at verse number 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 2 of chapter 4 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then there's with all praying and praying that the door will be open. Go back to Philippians 4. I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to get some thinking concerning, I'll give you some thinking concerning this little phrase found in verse number 6. The Bible could be written, be anxious for nothing, but let your requests be made known unto God. But the Word of God includes this little phrase with thanksgiving. I am told that secular psychologists now say one of the best ways to help anxiety, is to develop an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of thanksgiving. They finally have agreed with what the Bible has been teaching all along. You ever wonder why this little phrase? I've been thinking about this little phrase. Why does God say to come to Him? We cast our burdens on Him, but we come with thanksgiving or a thankful spirit. I want to give you a few thoughts tonight. Let's bow and ask the Lord to meet with us. Lord, we need You tonight, and I pray that You would help me as I seek to communicate some thoughts, Lord, concerning this matter of thanksgiving. I pray, Lord, that You would give us a thankful spirit. Lord, it's easy to focus on what we don't have, on what we wish would change, Lord, or what other people have or other people's lot in life. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to recognize that every good gift cometh from above. And You're a good God, and You daily load us with benefits. Now, Lord, help us tonight, and we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We do know that God wants us to have a thankful spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, there are some things you can say, well, is this or is this not the will of God for my life? But when it comes to being thankful, we have clear-cut command. By the way, the Word of God tells us some other things that are clearly His will for us. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, we clearly read that it is God's will for us to be thankful. Do you know that when I come to God with a thankful spirit, there are some messages that I communicate to God that I think are important? And so number one, I want us to see this idea of with thankfulness. When I come to God with a thankful heart, I communicate a message of acceptance. I communicate a message of this: I am where God has placed me. We could call it my lot in life is where God has placed me. Now again, we're talking about not things that we have done on our own accord. You know, if you rob a bank and you end up in jail, you had something to do with that, okay? We're talking about where God has placed us. We're talking about the sovereign will of God. And you know, it is hard to be thankful when I don't like my lot in life, when I'm not happy with where God has put me. We have a tendency to be discontent. You ever wonder why God commands us to give thanks and everything? Because it doesn't come natural. The flesh isn't naturally thankful. When we look at the scriptures here in Philippians 4, and we read concerning our thinking and our praying, we find ourselves in verse 11 where the Apostle Paul says this: not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What is he saying? I have learned to accept where God has placed me. Again, we're looking at his attitude. His attitude, by the way, isn't something, contentment isn't something he was born with. It is something that the Apostle Paul said, I had to learn. I had to learn to be content. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We have a tendency to resist things in our life that we don't like. When I'm resisting something that I don't like, it's hard sometimes to have a thankful spirit. We have a tendency sometimes to run from things that we don't like. We have a tendency sometimes to rebel when we are faced with circumstances. And I've known people and you've known people that used to be in church that aren't in church anymore because life didn't go the way they wanted it to go. And they found themselves rebelling against God for allowing things in their life that they didn't particularly like. Do you think the Apostle Paul liked being in prison for preaching the gospel? I don't necessarily think that he liked it, but he learned to do what? To abound and suffer need. He learned to do what? To rejoice in the Lord always. We can resist, we can rebel, we can run, or we can rejoice in the Lord We accept the fact that this is where God has us. This is what God has allowed in our life. So we may not like everything, but we can be content. Do you know sometimes when we are resisting where God has us, it's not just hard for us to be thankful, but it's hard for us sometimes to be useful. Pastor Drew and I were in staff meeting this past week, and right in the middle of me talking to him, we were discussing something. All of a sudden, I saw this spider, and this spider was spinning a web from the ceiling to the floor, and I'm watching this spider, and I'm being distracted. For a few minutes, my mind wasn't necessarily on what he was talking about, I have to admit. It was a small little spider. I don't think it was poisonous, but that spider now, just so you know, the end of the story is in spider heaven. Or maybe he's, well, I won't go there. Could be in any event. For a few minutes, I am focusing on not what I should be doing, listening to him pour out his heart about all of them. No, not really. Listening to what we were supposed to be discussing for a few minutes, I'm sidetracked now, focusing on an unpleasant circumstance that just happened to come into my life. Now, I had planned the strategy. I was waiting for this web. Poor spider didn't know what was happening. And eventually I told him, I said, hold on just a second. There's a spider coming down, and this spider is about to meet its maker. And I waited until it got about yay high from the ground so that I could trumps upon this here spider. And that was the end. And I lived. I want you to know that I lived. I didn't get bit. You can rest assured it was all good. But what am I saying? See, why in the world would you give me that illustration? Because sometimes we find ourselves rebelling against the circumstances in our lives that we don't like, and hence we're not grateful, and hence we're not being used of God to the fullest that we could. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul got bitter in prison? Can you imagine how this book to the Philippians might have been different? It would have been a lot different had he allowed bitterness to keep him, had he allowed the unpleasant circumstances to cause him to be ungrateful and to allow him to have a bitterness in his spirit, the whole thing would be different. You see, he has a thankful spirit. I think when we are thankful, we communicate to God a message of acceptance. I'm in the place where God has me. Number two, I want you to see this. I think we, secondly, when we're grateful, when we communicate gratefulness to the Lord, we communicate a message of acknowledgement, a message of acknowledgement. God has given me what I need to get the job done. So next to the acceptance there, I have this phrase, I am where God placed me. So next to the message of acknowledgement, I have this phrase, I have what I need. I have what I need to get the job done, to do what God wants me to do. We look at verse number 13. We all know and love verse number 13, don't we? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All right, it's not I can do all things. Sometimes that's how we live our Christian life, and we find ourselves crashing. We find ourselves bearing the weight of the world that God didn't intend for us to bear. We find ourselves overwhelmed with life, and God didn't intend that. It's not I can do all things, it's I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's His strength, and it's His enablement. And again, as we look at the circumstances in our lives, Paul's writing from prison. He's writing to this church. He's got a rejoicing spirit. He says, hey, when you take your burdens to God, communicate with thanksgiving. I can be thankful to God, not because all of my ducks are in a row and everything is how I want it to be. No, I can be thankful to God that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. 1 Thessalonians tells us what? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You see, he has given us what we need. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and I want to spend just a minute in chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll look at chapter 11 briefly, but really where I want to spend more of our time is in chapter number 12. As we recognize what the Apostle Paul learned in his life. By the way, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, God will never allow more in your life than you are able. That's encouraging. You may feel at times like, I don't know how much more I can handle. Well, if I do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, God's not going to put on me more than I can handle through Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we read here the testimony of the Apostle Paul. This guy went through a whole bunch of stuff for the cause of Christ. Look at verse number 23. I'm in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. I've had many close calls. I've been in prison. Verse 24, I was 40 stripes save one, 5 times I was beaten. In verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And then he continues with the challenges, the perils, the dangers that he faced in trying to serve the Lord. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He covers it all, doesn't he? In weariness, painfulness, watchings, in hunger, thirst, in fastings, in cold, in nakedness. He says in verse 30, if I needs glory, I'll glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. It gets worse. It gets worse, his situation. We find him in chapter 12, and he says this, unless I should be, verse 7, exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. All right, now I've got another issue that I've sought the Lord, and the Lord said to me, I'm not going to deliver. My grace is sufficient for you. And what does he say? Verse 9, he, God, said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. What was the Apostle Paul focusing on there in prison here when he's writing the book of Philippians? He wasn't focusing on his infirmities. He was focusing on the power of Christ resting upon him. And see, when we get a hold of, I have what I need to live godly in Christ Jesus. What a great God. You know, I have been given assignments in one of the churches I was in as an assistant. I was given this great, big, huge assignment. And I remember it was like the first week I was there. And I said, okay, is there a manual? No manual. I said, is there anything in the computer? Not much in the computer. I said, well, who was in charge of this thing last time? Oh, he's gone. He's in a different church. I said, does somebody have his number? By the way, when I left there, they had a nice manual. And it really wasn't 100% me. It was another fellow with me. And they had a nice manual to help with this. It was a huge, huge assignment. When you think about what God has given us, God doesn't do that. Here's your assignment. Figure it out. God's given us an assignment, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to indwell us. He's given us a book full of promises to encourage us. And he enables us. And though the circumstances that we are in may be challenging, I can be grateful. I can rejoice in the Lord. I can go to him with thanksgiving. Why? Because I know that he has given me what I need to get the job done. He's given us all we need to fulfill his call. So when I come to God with a thankful spirit, I communicate a message of acceptance. Lord, I am where you want me. I could say a message of surrender. When I come to God, I communicate a message of acknowledgement. I have what I need to get the job done. The Apostle Paul said, it's Christ, it's not me. Now, I want you to go back to Philippians 4. Maybe you're there already. And I want you to see our last message that we communicate when it comes to this matter of thankfulness. With thanksgiving, we go to God. We're giving him our burdens. We don't want to give him our burdens grudgingly, right? We want to communicate to him, Lord, I am thankful that I'm in your place and I have what I need to get the job done. But I want you to see number three is a message of agreement. And next to this phrase, I have this little phrase, God will take care of me. Pastor Drew didn't know it when he picked out that song. What a tremendous song to go with the message. God will take care of me. Do we really believe that?
Yeah, so far.
So far. We do today and sometimes tomorrow. We waffle a little bit. But think about it. These three are similar, but yet they're separate. Accepting where God is. You know, there's a lot of Christians that haven't accepted their place in life. Accepting that. This is where God has me. Understanding that God has enabled me to get it done, but ultimately I've got to trust God to take care of me. The Apostle Paul said this in verse number 19. And again, we know this verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He had trusted God's purpose. We don't see him fretting and fearing. We don't see him saying, hey, I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. I'm worried. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:28. Boy, we know this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know I can be thankful to God because I know that God is working all things together? I alluded to this before. When Jesus went to the cross, what were the disciples thinking? They had instructions. They were thinking, oh no. It looked for a little bit like the devil had won. But what was Jesus doing? Fulfilling the will of God and providing salvation for all of mankind. It's that aspect of trusting the Lord. I thought about the aspect of childlike faith. You know, when kids are young and you get in the car and you drive to different places, they just trust you know where you're going. They just trust that you know how to get there. They just trust that there's gas in the car. You know, now that my children all have driver's license, and yes, even Jonathan, I know, believe it or not, now that they all have driver's license, and when I drive with them, and I'm driving, and they're in the passenger seat, there are times when I have to say, do you ever wonder how I made it all this time driving without your instructions, right? Do you know when you have a driver's license, you see things from a different perspective? Oh, Dad, stop. Oh, Dad. Oh, whoa, watch out for that guy, right? In a different perspective. But you know, sometimes in our Christian life, though we're older and we've got more hardships in life, sometimes we can have a tendency to forget that childlike faith that God wants us to have. I want to show you a verse in Acts chapter 27. That we haven't looked at in a while. Acts chapter 27, and we'll conclude with this. Of thankfulness, being thankful to God, not because things are going our way, but because we have a loving Father that has provided all we need, that promises to take care of us, and that has placed us right where He wants us to be. You ever think about that? 2020, Pennsylvania, here we are. We could be anywhere. We could have grown up in China, Alaska. I mean, anywhere we could be. But God has placed us right here for such a time as this to fulfill His will. In Acts 27, you're probably familiar with this chapter. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's on a boat. He warns the captain not to launch out, and the captain does it anyway. And they find themselves in a great, big, huge storm. And everybody on the boat is all upset. And the Spirit of God, the angel of God, speaks to the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see this in verse number 22. He goes from a prisoner, really, to the man in charge. He says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, verse 22, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So he's got a word from the Lord. Again, he's a prisoner. His life is in God's hands. And as they're in the midst of this big storm, God's angel speaks to the Apostle Paul, and he seeks to stand and communicate this to everybody else. I love the next verse. He knew what God said, but here's what he says. Look at the verse. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And by the way, you know the end of the story. They're saved because they listened to Paul, who was listening to the Lord. But it's interesting. Here's all that God said. And you can be of good cheer if we do what the Apostle Paul did. And he says this, I don't know about the rest of you. I know the storm's blowing, and I know humanly it looks like we're all dead. But I believe God. I believe it's going to be just as God said. We think about the aspect of thankfulness or thankful spirit. What is it that rubs against a thankful spirit? What is it that causes us not to be grateful? It's really a focus on ourselves and how we think things ought to be and people ought to respond. The Apostle Paul recognized that we have burdens. That's why he said, be anxious for nothing. You're going to let your requests be made known unto God, but do so with thankfulness. And we can do so with thankfulness when our focus is on, this is where God has me. God has given me all that I need to do what he wants. And God has promised that he will take care of me. I can be thankful. And as we looked at this morning, we're on our way to heaven. We're on the winning side. And we can rejoice in that. Lord, I ask tonight